It's Sunday, the 1st of November, 2015. Happy birthday to Tim Frazier. Welcome to the Red Rock Fantasy Basketball Monster Podcast, brought to you by Moneyball.com.au and Berry Sucks, who left a nice review on iTunes. And if you want to become a sponsor of the podcast along with Moneyball.com.au, all you need to do is leave a review on iTunes. And not only do you get to sponsor the podcast and get a big shout out on the show, but you also help the podcast grow significantly, which is something that I truly appreciate. So big thanks to Berry Sucks for his great review. And of course, moneyball.com.au for being the sponsor of the show. Make sure you're checking them out if you live in Australasia and getting involved in some daily fantasy action, which is it's been a great start so far. Also, big thanks obviously to Basketball Monster and Hardwood Proxism, where you might be hearing this podcast. And if you are, I do encourage anyone to subscribe to the podcast, leave a ranking, and leave a review. All right, we had six games on in the NBA today. And there was some, I don't know how else to say it. There was a monstrous performance. And that monstrous performance was Steph Curry. He lit it up. He had 53 points, which is obviously crazy. He had a massive third quarter, dropped 28 points in the third quarter, 53 points in total. He went 8 of 14 from 3. He had 9 assists, 4 rebounds, 4 steals, hit all 11 of his free throws. You couldn't complain one single bit about what Steph Curry did in this game. He has started off the season averaging close to 40 points a game through his first three games. He's only playing 32 minutes a night. He has been absolutely superb. There's nothing more that I can say. We just need to sit back and watching Steph Curry is just, it's fun. There is so much fun involved in watching him. He just does things that you don't think should be possible, that really aren't possible a lot of the time, and yet he makes them happen. You know, fall away, three pointers, through the leg dribble, whatever it is. He was really, really something else today in this game, and that's always fun to watch someone who performs at a level like that, which is exactly what Steph did. So he's clearly the monstrous line of the night. If anyone thinks anything different, I would like to know who else you would have had as the monstrous line of the night. But Steph is clearly the guy for today, and yeah, the season that he's putting up so far has been amazing. Next, we're going to look at the waiver wire line of the night, and I'm also going to combine the waiver wire line of the night with the young gun of the night because it goes to the same person, and that is Rodney Hood of the Utah Jazz. Hood played 29 minutes and had 17 points. He had 1 3, he had 5 rebounds, an assist, and 4 steals on super efficient shooting. He went 62% from the field on his 13 attempts. Rodney Hood is now averaging 15 points a game, almost 1.5 threes, 3 rebounds, 3 assists, almost 1.5 steals on 48% shooting, and he's yet to miss a free throw on very limited attempts. He's only taken 2 attempts in his 3 games, but still, what Rodney Hood is doing now, it belies his 49% ownership. For now, I think that in 12-team leagues, you need to go and grab Rodney Hood. Yeah, he's not playing big minutes. He's only averaging 27 minutes a night, but we're seeing he doesn't need big minutes. Now, he's probably going to need huge minutes to really make a massive jump and become a top 50 player, and that might not be something that happens this year because the way that Utah is running it with him and Alec Burks, they're going to continue to split time, I think, for a lot of the season. So let's not expect him to go and put up, you know, stupid high numbers. But for now, he's clearly close to a top, clearly close. That's not really putting my neck out there. He's close to a top 100 guy, and I think in a 12-team league, you have to look at Rodney Hood and that ownership percentage at 49. Now, if we look at this in again in a week's time, I think he needs to be up at 75%, which I reckon he could do. We'll see how it pans out. But for now, Rodney Hood's a guy that I like adding in pretty much all places. As Hood was the waiver wire of the night, he was the young gun of the night. Now we'll get moved straight on to the dud of the night, and it has to go to Myers Leonard of the Portland Trail Blazers. He's owned in almost 80% of leagues, which he should be. He played 31 minutes and had 9 points. Just 1 rebound, 1 steal, and 1 block. A lot of people are getting frustrated with Myers Leonard, and understandable. I'm definitely not cutting bait on him yet. I like the fact that he's still playing 28 minutes a game. His shot is not falling. It will start to fall. He's at 7 points for the year, 4 rebounds, 0.7 threes, 0.7 steals, 0.7 blocks. So those numbers could realistically become a triple one. He could become a 12 to 13 point scorer. I think that things are going to turn around. If someone drops Myers Leonard in your league, if someone drops him in one of my leagues, I am looking to pick him up. Things are going to have to change around. It's not like he's getting completely minimized like Gorgui Dieng and playing 13 minutes off the bench. He's still playing. You know, he's still playing big minutes. And the reason his minutes are down at 27 is because in game two he was dealing with a lot of foul trouble and that limited his minutes. His other two games were over 30 minutes a night. So the minutes are still there. They're still trusting him to be out on the court and to be in position and to play a big role. Just things aren't falling for him at this point. And a lot of that is his shooting. He shot. You know, we know he shot a ridiculous percentage last year, 51% from the field. He was at 40. He was at 45 the year before. He was at 55 the year before. He's currently at 32 this season. So this is one of those things where, you know, when I talk about don't panic early season, because he's not going to be a 32% shooter for the season. He's going to go on a streak where he shoots 56% or 58%, and it's going to even out his percentages throughout the course of the season. But when it starts off the season on a really, really bad run, people do tend to panic. And I can understand people wanting to drop him, but it's not like his field goal attempts are that low. He's actually taking basically the same field goal attempts per 36 minutes that what he took last season. Very similar to what we had him projected at Basketball Monster. His field goal attempts is right on that same level. If the shots start falling, then his numbers are going to rise back up. His threes will get back up. His points will get back up. We need his rebounds and that to jump, but he's already exceeding what we expected him to do in steals and blocks. So I think that I'm watching. If someone drops him, and there's going to be people dropping him, there's almost no doubt, because I've had a lot of people tweeting at me talking about Myers Leonard. People are going to drop him, and some people will say that you're right to drop him. That's fine. I'm just getting very, very, not very ready. I'm getting extremely ready. I'm getting really close. Now, let's rephrase that. I'm absolutely pouncing if someone drops Myers Leonard in one of my leagues. Unless my team is just absolutely stacked, then I'm going and adding Leonard across the board. All right, so we had these six games. Now, I'm going to try something a little bit different. Someone sent me a tweet the other day saying that, you know, when we talk about the games, maybe it's a good idea to put the box scores up on the screen. And I said, why not? So let's put the box scores up on the screen as we get into the games. The first game we want to talk about is the New York Knicks. And if you're watching this live on YouTube, you can see the box scores. This is on Basketball Monster. So it's got all the categories. Over on the right-hand side where you can see my mouse hovering there, it's got the value. So that's the standard score values for each of these categories on the particular day. So we can talk about the first guy, Carmelo Anthony, standard score of 3.58 for his scoring across the whole day. And that's what those green and red numbers are. And then over on the left-hand side, the value part here is his overall standard score of overall value. Now, the ranks, when I give out my ranks, they don't necessarily correspond exactly to the Basketball Monster rank, because that's a flat averaged ranking of the nine categories, and you know that for head-to-head I do it a little bit differently. But this is how the Basketball Monster, if you're not a member of Basketball Monster, this is how the box scores are presented on a day-by-day basis. In saying that, let's talk about this Knicks-Wizards game. The Knicks are better than we think. They are better than we think. I think there's no other way of really putting that. Melo got things going finally. 37 points for him, 4 threes, 7 rebounds, 4 assists. You know, really, really good shooting. And the Knicks have now won 2 games. Had a bit of a stinker in the middle to the Hawks. But for them to get a victory over the Wizards is a very big deal. Langston Galloway is another guy that I think we really need to pay attention to in terms of what he's going to do this season. He played 28 minutes here. He's on 14 points, 2 threes, 7 rebounds, 4 assists, a steal, and a block. So contributing across the board. He's been putting up stacks of value this season, even in limited minutes. Now, I know Aaron Aflalo is going to come back, but you would have to think and you would have to pray that when Aflalo comes back, that he's not going to take minutes away from Langston Galloway. He's going to take the minutes away from Sasha Vujacic, because Vujacic is playing 26 to 27 minutes a night anyway. Vujacic can basically be out of the rotation when Aflalo comes back, leaving Galloway and Jerry and Grant to play that bench role. And I think that's exactly what they'll do. So I'm not hesitant about adding Galloway. There's maybe a 2% doubt in my mind that Derek Fisher does something dumb, because let's be honest, he's done quite a few dumb things over his short coaching career. But Galloway's a guy that, you know, he put up that great numbers last season. I thought he might be in for a bit of a dip, but he's showing that he can be a real NBA player. Now, the Knicks didn't make the move of putting Jerian Grant as the starting point guard, but Jose Calderon, he still only played 21 minutes. 10 points for Calderon with 3 assists. He's not worth owning in standard leagues, whereas Grant, I think the upside is there. Now, he only had 7 points, but he had 3 steals and no assists. The game before, he was on 7 rebounds, 7 assists. So if I'm picking one of those two guys, it is Jerian Grant. And if I added him in a 12-team league, I'm still going to hold on and see exactly how it pans out. Good news for Robin Lopez owners after 2 really subpar minutes-wise performances. He played 31 here, 8-8 with 3 assists and 2 blocks. That's more what we like to see. I didn't want to see him getting 3 straight 20-minute games because that would have meant a bit of a panic sort of situation. What is Fisher doing with Lopez? Kylo Quinn continues to produce only in 15 minutes, 10 points, 2 rebounds and a block. So that's still okay. It is really hard to own him in a 10-team league though, just because we don't know how the minutes are going to appear. And Kristaps Porzingis had one of his quieter games, 8-6 with not a lot else. But you just have to persist with him. There's going to be ups and downs with a rookie. In a 10-team league, he's probably not a must-own, but in a 12-team, I think you definitely have to hold on to Kristaps. For the Wizards, Bradley Beal with his second big game in a row, 26 points with 4 rebounds, 2 steals, and 3 threes. He, unlike the game before, he murdered your field goal percentage here, only converting 39% of his shots. Otto Porter with one of his bigger games, 16-9 with 2 steals. And if he's not owned in your league, he should be as well. What we need to talk about with the Wizards, though, is Chris Humphries. He only played 15 minutes in this one after another subpar performance in the game before. With the return of Jared Dudley, Drew Gooden getting hot here. Yes, Humphries continues to start, but that little experiment we saw through preseason and the first game with Humphries getting big minutes, it appears to be over. So I don't think that we can be trusting Humphries in a 10 or a 12-team format. You're much better off using that spot as a streaming spot or grabbing a guy like Rodney Hood, who I mentioned before, or even Langston Galloway, even though they're different players. But Humphries' minutes on the decline the last 2 games, he's been nullified. Even Nene played more minutes than him. And that's obviously a bit of a concern. Marcin Gortat, only 26 minutes for him, 9-5 with 1 steal. That's perfect buy low time on Marcin Gortat. Go after him. He was tremendous. He was a top 30 guy second half of last season. He's not performing up to scratch here. You need to go after him, I think, as in really, really low ball offers. He was already ranked really low on ESPN, I think ranked like 90th or 100th, so people might not think he's actually a good player. If you can get him for one of your last couple of guys on your roster, now is the time to do it. So have a look at Marcin Gortat, see if he's available, see if his owner's a panicked guy. There are going to be dumb people dropped in leagues all over the place. There was a guy on the Basketball Monster Forum the other day, I may have mentioned this on the show yesterday, that talked about he's in an 18-team league and someone dropped Nerlens Noel. Dumb shit happens all the time. Make sure you're on the lookout for it and ready to pick it up on it. John Wall, 25 points, 2 threes. Looks like the threes have returned to John Wall's game, so that's good. 3 rebounds, 4 assists, 1 steal, 2 blocks, contributing all over the place. The only problem with John Wall in this one, the free throws. He didn't hit a huge amount of them, 7 of 11 from the free throw line. But he makes up for it a little bit by going 47% from the field on his 17 attempts. And now he's adding in some big block numbers as well. There's nothing to be worried about with John Wall. From Eve's fantasy value, he's a clear top 10 guy in head-to-head leagues. A little bit lower if you're playing 9-cat roto because of the turnovers. But still, John Wall is a fantasy stud. He's a real-life stud as well. The next game we're going to have a look at is the Utah Jazz and the Indiana Pacers. The Derek Favors assault continues. 18-7 for Favors, 2 assists, 3 steals, 1 block. He's led this team in scoring all 3 games. He looks a completely different guy, and it's awesome. It's great seeing him out there. And just remember that Derek Favors is the guy that Utah got in exchange for Darren Williams, along with other pieces. But basically, that was the key piece. And he is looking like a pretty good trade these days. Favors putting up some really, really big numbers, offensively especially. Rudy Gobert, exactly the same as what we expect. 9 points. He's never going to score. But 17 rebounds and 2 blocks, a good field goal percentage. That's great from Gobert. He's doing what hopefully you expected him to do. Gordon Hayward, another one that's in that buy low sort of category. 28 minutes only for Hayward. 11 points, 3 assists, a steal, and 2 threes. I've had people ask me what's going on with Hayward. I don't know what it is that's going on with Hayward. He's definitely been down, but this is prime buy low again on Gordon Hayward. You need to come in and strike the owner who's panicking, because they will be panicking, and people listening to this show are panicking. I know that they're panicking. They've told me they're panicking about Gordon Hayward. Go and throw that low ball offer at Hayward and see if you can get some value back, or not get some, get him back. He is the value, and get him back for someone who's not very good. That's exactly what I'm going to be doing with Gordon Hayward in the leagues that I don't own him. And if I do own him, you're just holding on. He has these these stretches where he does go cold. Sometimes it's the middle of the season. Sometimes it's the start of the season. I don't think there's any reason to be concerned about Gordon Hayward. Alec Burks played 21 minutes off the bench, 10 points for him. Trevor Booker with 28 minutes off the bench. We don't need to worry too much about him. The point guard situation is still a mess. Harold Neto played 20 minutes for 2 rebounds and 2 assists. He's not worth owning in any sort of 10 or 12 or probably even 14 team league at this point. Whereas Trey Burke played only 21 minutes, but 15 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals and a 3. I picked up Trey Burke in a 20 team roto league because in a 20 team league, he almost definitely should be owned, but he wasn't. So I picked him up in a 12 team head to head league. There's streaming possibilities for him. But he's not a guy that's a must-own sort of candidate. On the Indiana Pacers, George Hill appears to be real. And I say real, that I thought that there was a chance that he regressed this year after a strong second half, but no, he's getting run out there a stack, another 37 minutes today, 17-6 with 3 threes, an assist and 2 steals. He looks like, at this stage, to be a real draft day steal. Monte Ellis with a bit of a bounce back game, 12-4-3 with 2 steals and 2 blocks, but you're never going to expect those block numbers to continue for him. And Paul George had his first quiet game of the season, going 16-3-1 with a steal, and at least he didn't kill your free throw percentage in this one. What else is there to talk about with the Pacers? Jan Mahinmi, he just continues to do what we expect from Jan Mahinmi, 6-5 in 23 minutes with 2 blocks, whereas Miles Turner also played 23 minutes. He went 10-4 in a block. Neither of them are a must-own in all leagues, but in 12-team leagues, I can see a spot for both guys, especially if they're going to be splitting minutes, and Turner has started to increase his minutes while Mahinmi's been dropping his minutes a little bit. So it might be 2 weeks until we see Turner playing 27 a night and becoming a real real fantasy factor. Not a force, but a fantasy factor. So if you want to take on maybe a little bit of risk for the first couple of weeks, Turner, it looks to be... I'm trying to avoid saying the word turn. It looks to be moving in his direction in terms of how it favors him. And he's always had a really favorable fantasy profile. So keep a look on Miles Turner. CJ Miles moved back into the starting lineup. Only had 5 points and his shot wasn't falling. He was 1 of 9 and didn't hit any threes. That won't be the case all the time. He still contributed 2 steals. And I still think that he is a good 12-team league guy. The rest of the guys on the Pacers, there's not a lot to love, really. The next game on the slate was the Golden State Warriors and the New Orleans Pelicans. Draymond Green had his best game of the season, 21-6-4 with 4 triples. Klay Thompson bounced back as well, and again, he didn't need to play a huge amount of time. Still dealing with that back issue, 19 points, 2 threes, 3 rebounds, and a block. Klay Thompson, add him into that list of guys to target in a buy-low sort of moment, because he's still not producing at the level of people who took him at pick 11 or pick 12 would have been expecting. So you can go buy-low on him there. Harrison Barnes, 11-7. The breakout that some people predicted definitely hasn't come yet. It might, but I'm highly doubtful. And Festus Ezeli played 15 minutes, replacing Andrew Bogut as the starter. 1 point, 5 rebounds, a steal, and a block. You never wanted him as a points guy. He went 1 of 6 from the free throw line. Steals and blocks and rebounds is where his value comes from. He sort of gave it to you tonight. It's not great. You're not going to be overly thrilled with what he gave you. But with Bogut now announced as having no timetable to return, that could mean that he's back in 2 days. It could mean he's back in a week. He's still not over the concussion symptoms. If you need some boards and blocks in a deeper sort of league, Ezeli is still going to be able to provide those numbers. Now, Anthony Davis played 37 minutes. I feel like he has these big performances and they get overshadowed. 26-15 for Davis. He hit a 3. He had 4 assists. He had 2 blocks. That's a really good night. But he's playing up against Steph Curry, who many people were, putting these guys head-to-head for the number one pick. And 26-15 with 2 blocks pales in insignificance compared to Curry. Davis is still really good. Ryan Anderson had a nice game off the bench, 19-7 with 2 threes. He still doesn't do it for me, really. That's great, but there's just not enough other numbers for him. The interesting thing here is the point guard situation in New Orleans. Jrue Holiday, New Orleans, seriously, the stuff that comes out of New Orleans, they're just so full of shit. We're going to run a 15-minute limit on Jrue Holiday. Oh, no, we're not. We're going to run a 20-minute limit. Next minute, he's not playing. Then, it's 20 minutes. Then he plays 27 minutes. At this point, I don't know what it is with Holiday. He played 27 minutes here. He had 22 points, 2 rebounds, 6 assists. And this is how good Jrue Holiday can be, and that means that he has to be owned in every sort of league. But the Pelicans have a back-to-back set this week, so you might only get 2 games out of him. But if he's already playing 27 minutes, if he's on a waiver wire, you absolutely have to go and grab him now. If he misses a game this week due to a back-to-back, so be it. Because if he's already at 27 minutes, you think that he's going to continue along that 25 to 26-minute path now. We don't really know, but he could continue along that path. And then he becomes potentially a top 50, top 40 sort of player. So if he's around, for some reason the minutes limit was exceeded by 7 minutes tonight, and let's hope that that's something that continues. Tony Douglas got the majority of the backup point guard minutes. He played 23 for 17 points, 3 rebounds, 4 assists, a steal, and a 3. If Holiday's going to be playing big minutes, Douglas nor Ish-Smith have any appeal, except on that back-to-back set coming up where Holiday, we don't know which game it's going to be, but Holiday towards the end of the week, he'll likely sit one of those. So if we're looking at one of those people, you'd have to think it's going to be Tony Douglas who takes the streaming benefit and the DFS benefit. If you picked up Ish-Smith in a 12-team league hoping to get a month's worth of value out of him, that's pretty much dead. He played 11 minutes for 4 points and 3 assists, and the big thing is that he played 11 minutes, and Holiday got 27, and Douglas got 23. So we don't think we're going to see a huge amount more from Ish-Smith. Kendrick Perkins suffered a pectoral strain. He played 2 minutes. He was on fire as well, had 2 points in those 2 minutes, but we don't care about Kendrick Perkins. And Omar Asik made his return from a calf strain and played 10 minutes for 1 rebound and 1 steal. Just a public service announcement, Omar Asik is not good at fantasy basketball. He's not great at real basketball either, but he's not good at fantasy basketball. He has value in one category, and that is rebounds. So if you want someone for one category in a deep league, fine. But if you're in a 10 or 12 team league, I'm almost certain you can find someone better than Omar Asik. Alexei Ajinsa, I don't know why he played so few minutes. I watched a stretch of this game where he just kept putting back every single Eric Gordon missed layup. I think it went in about a minute. Gordon missed 3 layups. Ajinsa put back all of them. He finished with 7 points in 6 minutes, 5 rebounds. This is why he's a guy that I always want to keep my eye on, because he's a great per-minute producer. For some reason, he's only getting 6 minutes. I just want them to play him and Anthony Davis out there for big chunks of time together. It's looking like it's not going to happen, but he's someone that you definitely have to keep your eye on, because he's able to put up some pretty big numbers when he gets the opportunity. The next game we look at is the Brooklyn Nets and the Memphis Grizzlies. Thaddeus Young had his best game of the season. That's not saying a huge amount, but it was still pretty impressive. 11-9. But the thing that comes with Thad Young here is the 2 steals, and that's something that is where his value is. As a power forward who can get 2 steals a game, he's really valuable. He had a block as well. Make sure he's owned in your league. Jarrett Jack, same as him. He's not owned in every league. I don't know why. 15 points, 3 rebounds, 9 assists. He is an absolute must-own guy across every single league. For as bad as Jarrett Jack is, and you're not going to hear me say a good word about what he's like as a player on the court, you have to own him in fantasy if he's going to go 15, 3, and 9. And he will continue to do that, because Shane Larkin isn't good. Markel Brown isn't good. Donald Sloan is less than good. Now, the Nets did make a change, and they put Markel Brown in the starting lineup. They played him 14 minutes, so what's the point? Wayne Ellington moved to the bench and played 9 minutes, whereas Bojan Bogdanovic played 34 off the bench for 19 points, 2 rebounds, 2 assists, and a steal. He led the team in scoring, and it's Bogdanovic's best performance all season. He's had a couple of stinkers up until now, but I still maintain that he is going to be a player. When all is said and done, he will be inside the top 150. For now, you don't have to rush to grab him. Let's see how it plays out. But he's clearly the best wing option there. Joe Johnson, he's struggling through. In a 10-team league, I don't reckon you need to own Joe Johnson. And Thomas Robinson, much like the guys we mentioned before, Alexei Ajinsa, Robinson puts up numbers in limited minutes. 8 points, 12 rebounds in 15 minutes. He's just not good enough to sustain bigger minutes. So he's great in a situation if Thad Young got hurt, or if Lopez got hurt and you could see Robinson getting 25 minutes, he'd be great. But he's never going to force these guys into giving him bigger minutes. The Grizzlies, another bounce back from Mike Conley. Safe to say that first game was an aberration. 22-2-8 with 4 threes. Bit of a concern with the performances of Marc Gasol though. 7-4-6. His shot was definitely not falling. He hasn't been great this season. Another guy to put on your buy low list. I don't think all of a sudden Marc Gasol is a bad player, but he's not producing at the moment. Zach Randolph, a very typical Zach Randolph line. 15-13 and nothing else. And Jeff Green off the bench was quite useful. 13-4-5 with a 3. Now, the Grizzlies have got a really good schedule next week. They've got 4 games, but they've got 3 of those games on days when there is less than 8 games being played, starting off the week with a back-to-back as well. So you're going to be able to get some pretty decent value from Grizzlies guys. So a guy like Jeff Green, or if you need some steals from Tony Allen, you could get Tony Allen, slot him in on those low scheduled days and get 6 steals out of him. That might be enough to turn your matchup. So look to these guys. Even Courtney Lee, who had 15 points and 2 steals here. These guys are going to be of use to you next week based on how favorable the Grizzlies' schedule is. And if you're a Basketball Monster member, you'll see my article, The Weekly Primer, will be going up maybe before you even listen to this podcast it'll be going up there highlighting some waiver wire guys and some schedule quirks for next week. The next game we take a look at is the Portland Trailblazers and the Phoenix Suns, which happened yesterday, happened again today. The Suns got the big victory over the Blazers. Eric Bledsoe, 33, 3-6, 4 steals, 2 blocks, 2 threes. He was really close to Curry in terms of the monstrous line of the night. Well, he wasn't really close. He came in, I think, third behind Curry in the monstrous line of the night. I put a lot of faith in Bledsoe this year. I had him ranked close to a top 15 guy, and after the first game, I was a bit like, this doesn't look great. The last two games, he's been fantastic, and so has Brandon Knight. That pairing is working really well. 27-5-5 for Knight with 4 threes, 2 steals, and a block. So big nights from both those guys. Markieff Morris battled foul trouble again. So when you see that he played 23 minutes, it is foul trouble, but he was still good. 15-9, a steal, a block, 3 threes. So a good night from Markieff Morris despite limited time on the court. First time we've seen PJ Tucker play decent minutes. Still didn't translate into good stats. He had 31 minutes, 4-6. Nothing much to see with PJ Tucker. You don't need to own him in 12-team leagues. But as I mentioned yesterday, just because Tucker's struggling doesn't mean we want to rush out and grab TJ Warren, who played 19 minutes here and had 1 rebound. Not a good night from TJ Warren. He's going to have value in certain formats, but not necessarily everywhere. Inexplicably, Ronnie Price played 17 minutes for 7 points. We can clearly ignore him. The big surprise to me in Phoenix is John Lua, who I didn't anticipate to get many minutes this season, but he played basically 20 minutes every game, 8-8 with 2 threes, and he's the preferred option as the fourth big over Mirza Teletovic. He even played more than Alex Len in this game. Don't think we need to worry about grabbing John Lua, but 14 or 16 team leagues are going to want to pay attention because the 20 minutes a game, he's able to hit threes, he can grab rebounds, he's an interesting piece from a fantasy point of view. Tyson Chandler didn't score much, 5 points, but 11 rebounds, 2 steals and 2 blocks is a fairly good return from him. Archie Goodwin was a healthy scratch, and that's something to pay attention to, and I don't like the fact that Ronnie Price is getting 17 minutes and Sonny Williams is getting 6 minutes and Archie Goodwin isn't seeing the court at all. Onto the Blazers, Damian Lillard, 23, 4, and 8 with 2 steals and 3 threes. That's a good night for him. CJ McCollum, 15, 5, and 4 with a 3. That's an okay night as well. But Al-Farouq Aminu is probably the biggest surprise packet here, and the fact that he had a good game without getting any steals or blocks is a surprise. 16, 7, and 5 with 2 threes. He took 14 shots. Only 3 Blazers took double-digit shot attempts, and that's McCollum, Lillard, and Aminu. But Aminu's a guy who has to be owned in pretty much every league at this point. Ed Davis grabbed 11 rebounds with 2 blocks in 21 minutes off the bench, whereas Mason Plumlee went 8-7 with 2 blocks. Plumlee's still in 27 minutes. It's still useful because you know that he was a punt free throw guy. So your 7 rebounds, 2 blocks, 4 of 4 from the field, that's useful. He went 0 of 4 from the free throw line, so that knocked him down tremendously. But I harped on about this so much during the offseason that Mason Plumlee is a punt-only guy. So if you grabbed him in that situation, you like that you could have got him in the last couple of rounds, and he gives you that field goal percentage boost, the 2 blocks and the rebounds. He's getting minutes out there. Now, Mo Harkless is an interesting guy. He started the second half in place of Myers Leonard. Didn't end up playing as many minutes as Leonard. Wasn't all that productive. 7 points, 4 rebounds, 2 steals, and a 3. I do like Harkless in certain situations. I'm definitely not going to run out and grab him based on starting the second half and playing 28 minutes. He's a good steals guy. He's an okay 3-point guy, but he's just not going to produce in enough areas that makes me want to grab him in multiple sort of situations. The last game of the night was the Sacramento Kings and the Los Angeles Clippers. Back-to-back big Rajon Rondo games. 21 points for Rondo, 5 rebounds, 8 assists, 2 steals, and a 3. Feeling a lot better about drafting him now after these couple of performances. I still don't think he's a great player, and he was still outplayed by Darren Collison in terms of minutes, but this is 2 big nights in a row for Rondo. How often does he shoot 53% from the field, though? He's done it 2 in a row. Can we expect it to continue? I'm a little bit doubtful. What I do like are the 2 steals and 8 assists, though, because that's back to old Rondo form. Let's just look, if someone wants to offer you a top 50 player for Rondo and thinks that he's all the way back, do it. But I'm not going and buying and paying a big price to get Rajon Rondo onto my team. DeMarcus Cousins sat out the entire second half with what was called a sore Achilles. No Achilles tear or anything like that. He'd be dealing with heel and foot problems the end of last season and through the preseason. He was at 13-9 in the first half, so he's already putting up big numbers. We don't know if that means he's going to play in the next game. I'm considering him probable for the time being, but obviously we want to check back and see exactly what that means. But that meant that Willie Cauley-Stein could, and Kostas Kuffos could play big minutes. Now, after Cauley-Stein's big explosion against the Lakers, with DeMarcus Cousins out, he played just 23 minutes, 8-9 with 3 steals and a block. So that's still okay, but they preferred Kostas Kuffos. They gave Kuffos 29 minutes. He went 4-7 with a block. Omri Caspi played 21 minutes. Rudy Gay played at the 4 as well. So Cauley-Stein didn't dramatically benefit from Cousins' missing games. Now, everyone is very, very hyped about Willie Cauley-Stein. He is going to have a lot of bad games, a lot. You can go ahead and add him, but it has to be in the right situation, and it has to be making sure you're not dropping someone who's actually good and has value. So Cauley-Stein's a guy, to me, that is going to get bought up in a lot of hype. And if for some reason that you did manage to grab him, with this Cousins' minor injury news, I'll try and sell Cauley-Stein to someone who's even more in love with him than what you are, because I just don't see him being a great player. He's got no offensive talent. He's a rebounder. He can get blocks. He's going to be a bad free throw shooter. I think he's going to be a bad field goal shooter as well. The minutes are going to be really hard for him to come by. I'll leave it at that. Darren Collison, 15-3-6 with a 3, so he continues to be a guy that you have to own across pretty much all formats. And Ben McLemore played just 10 minutes. 3 points and a rebound. He can be cut everywhere. 10, 12, almost 14 team leagues as well. George Karl and Ben McLemore are definitely not clicking. And the Rondo Collison backcourt with Ballinelli thrown in there is working a lot better than what I think a lot of people may have anticipated. On to the Clippers. Blake Griffin is just on fire. 37-9-6 with 2 steals. He's putting up some just tremendous numbers. JJ Redick was scoring at a huge rate as well. He went 8-9 from the field and 5-5 from the line for 23 points. And DeAndre Jordan was really close to the monstrous line of the night because he did exactly what you want him to do. 15 points, 18 rebounds, 7 blocks, 5-6 from the field. I've just noticed that the YouTube stream has just gone down, so I'm just going to we'll come back to that in one sec. Okay, looks like we're back online now with the guys from YouTube. We just talked about the Kings and started talking about the Los Angeles Clippers. We'll start back up with DeAndre Jordan. 15 points, 18 rebounds, a steal, 7 blocks. He was the second in line for the monstrous line of the night behind Curry today, because when you drafted DeAndre Jordan, yes, that free throw is horrible. You know, he went 42% on 12 attempts, and that just destroys that category. But you drafted him knowing that. So the 15 points, 18 rebounds, 7 blocks, and the big field goal percentage, you have to love that, and that's exactly what he does for you in a head-to-head league. So that's fantastic from DeAndre Jordan. A big, big night. Chris Paul with 17, 6, and 11, and a 3, and a steal. A good performance from him as well. Lance Stephenson continues to do nothing. 7 points, 2 rebounds, 4 assists. Not a good performance from him. And the rest of the bench guys, you can forget about all of those guys in standard leagues. Jamal Crawford, Paul Pierce, Josh Smith, Wes Johnson, Austin Rivers. None of those guys you want anything to do with in standard leagues. It is the 4 people that on the Clippers that have any sort of impact. Griffin, Redick, Jordan, and Paul. Everyone else, you can leave for deeper leagues or for people who believe in nostalgia that Lance Stephenson was a good player 2 years ago or that Paul Pierce is going to be a Hall of Famer or that Josh Smith used to be good playing for the Hawks or Jamal Crawford used to be the sixth man of the year. They're not providing any sort of value this season, so don't be thinking that, yeah, it's only going to be a matter of time before they bounce back. It's just not going to happen that way, unfortunately. Now what we're going to do is we're going to transition into the daily fantasy portion of the show. So I am going to have another quick little musical interlude while we do that. I saw your picture today. Got me thinking about the things that I would say. But I know you're happy now and you're someplace far away. Away, away, away. And I can't remember the way you taste. I walk down your old street. Okay, we're back in business now. We're talking about the daily fantasy slate. 4 Sunday's games, and remember, there are early games here, so have a look at what contests you're entering, whether they include all the games, the early games, the late games. We're going to touch on all of these ones here, but you need to pay attention to, and it's a real pain on Sunday games with daily fantasy. I generally tend to look at late games only because, you know, so much can happen. You can start the early games, especially if you're playing on a site like FanDuel where there are no late switches. you're playing on a site like that with the early games, and then there's 5 hours before the late games start, and so many things can happen. Guys can be in, guys can be out, and it can really affect your lineup. So if I'm going with anything, I'm looking at the late games only and trying to approach it that way. Now, I've set up quite a few Moneyball contests to take me on in head-to-heads and in leagues, and they're all-day games. Feel free to go ahead and take me up on some of those leagues. And if don't forget, if you are on Moneyball, go ahead and add me as a friend on there, redrock_bball, and challenge me to head-to-heads, challenge me to leagues, put me into whatever, and we'll see how we all come out. And I appreciate everyone who has challenged me or taken up my head-to-head contests that I've put up there on the site so far. Let's talk Hawks and Hornets. The Hawks are favored by 1 point. There's a very low over-under of 193, so that means there's not a lot of daily fantasy value to be had here. Cody Zeller is priced at $3,900 for the Hornets. Look, he's had a couple of games. Well, he's had one game this season where he's exceeded value at that price. He's averaging 15.9, which is probably not quite enough. He's a tournament-only sort of option, whereas Marvin Williams, who's at $4,500, has been putting up significantly better numbers than that. He's had two consecutive double-doubles. Does he do it again? I don't think Marvin Williams is a good player, but he could realistically, you know, go out there and put up another big night in big minutes. So I really do like Marvin Williams at that sort of price point. Jeremy Lin is well priced at $4,800, and so is Nick Batum at $6,300. So despite this game having a low total, there is quite a few guys to like from the Hornets side of things. There's quite a few guys to like from the Hawks side of things as well, with Paul Millsap priced at $7,900 and Al Horford at $7,400. Both of those guys have been in red hot form to start the season. You're going to need them to put up 40 points, which is something they've done a couple of times this season, but that's okay. If they put up 40 points, you're looking pretty good there. We don't know if Kyle Korver's going to play. We don't know if Thabo Sefolosha is going to play. So there are a couple of things to look at. And if both of those wing guys happen to miss, then Dennis Schroeder at $4,600 is someone that you definitely want to pay attention to. Kent Bazemore went big in the last game. Don't think I necessarily trust him to continue to do that. Lamar Patterson is a guy who's a minimum price player. He hasn't really put up any sort of numbers, but if Sefolosha and Korver both sit out, he might see more than 20 minutes. He might see 25 minutes and a few more shots go his way. So he's someone to pay attention to there. If I'm looking at a point guard in this game, Jeff Teague and Kemba Walker, they're priced basically the same. I think that I go with Kemba slightly over Jeff Teague. He is averaging 4 more fantasy points per game this year for only an extra $100. That's the direction that I'd be heading if I'm looking for a point guard from this game. The next game that's up on the slate is the San Antonio Spurs and the Boston Celtics. The Spurs are favored by 5, which feels low to me. The Spurs have been humming so far. The total is 201.5, so a pretty decent total. Let's have a look at the my screen just went down of all the games. I'll bring this back up in one sec as we talk. The Celtics front court. Let's talk about that for a sec. You can't rely on any of these guys. None of them played. I mentioned this in yesterday's podcast. None of them played 20 minutes in the game. You can't rely. Look, you can put a couple of them into maybe a tournament sort of option, but I don't want anything to do with these Celtics big men. They're just not going to be able to put up numbers on a consistent or a predictable basis. The value in this game comes from Spurs players. Kawhi Leonard at $8,000, I think, is definitely worth a play. He's been really good. Look, his second game, he didn't put up big numbers, but he didn't have to play many minutes in the buyout victory against the Nets. I think that he is great at that price. LaMarcus Aldridge at $8,300. That's probably too expensive for him. He said some real puzzling quotes to me. Now, I don't remember the exact quote. It was something along the lines of, "I'm not myself. I'm not the guy that I'm supposed to be," or something really weird. And it didn't feel like he was putting a huge amount of blame on himself for the struggles. It was a weird one from LaMarcus Aldridge. And maybe I'll try to bring it up here and see if I can find it. But I didn't like the tone of it. Maybe I'm a little bit anti LaMarcus Aldridge. Maybe there's some bias coming in from me in that sort of sense. But I'm gonna bring it up. Here it is. LaMarcus Aldridge, it's not the same. I'm not the same person here that I was in Portland. I don't feel they need me to be that person all the time. It's learning how to be myself in the offense. I haven't figured it out yet. I feel like the whole team philosophy of good to great passes is in my head all the time. Hopefully as the season goes, I'll figure it out. But right now, I'm just trying to fit in. I don't know. There's something about that where I go, it's a little bit weird to me that, you know, and I was really down on LaMarcus Aldridge coming in for seasonal leagues. I don't want anything to do with him at that price in daily leagues, but it's worth paying attention to. Danny Green has been quiet to start the season, but he's priced at 4,100. I think that is a great play for a tournament because we know that he can go out there and get five blocks and hit five threes and grab seven rebounds and have 20 points and completely turn your fortunes around. So he's someone to pay attention to. Not a lot else value-wise in this one. If you're looking for any of the Boston big men, and I'd probably steer you away from doing that, Kelly Olynyk at 4,000. He is the most fantasy-friendly of all these players. He got 17.4 points in his first game. If he gets 17 points, if he gets 20 points, that's okay at 4,000. So he's someone that, and he could have a bigger game. It's not like his first game was really fantastic. He could have a bigger game than that. But in general, I'm trying to avoid all of those Boston guys because there's six of them, and they're just going to run them basically 20 minutes each, and that is not something that we want much to do with from a fantasy point of view. The next game is the Rockets and the Heat, and somehow the Heat are favored by 2 points with a total of 205.5. So if I'm looking to bet, the Rockets, they've been terrible. Admittedly, they've been horrible, and they've got no Terrence Jones, but they should be able to handle Miami, I'm pretty certain. Let's see how it plays out. Now, for the Rockets, there's some decent low price plays here. There is no Terrence Jones with that laceration over his eye. Montrezl Harrell priced at 3,600. He's already had a game of over 22 fantasy points this season. So he is someone that you can definitely have a look at and price into your even cash games at that price. It's worth a look. And tournament plays, that's fantastic. Corey Brewer should also see more court time without Jones, without Monty Unis. 4,100 for Brewer. I think there's some good value for him there too. I think Trevor Ariza is a nice play at 5,500. James Harden at 10,400. He struggled by his own standards. This could be an opportunity for him to put up some pretty decent sort of stats. So he's a guy that I'm putting a little bit of faith in, not a massive amount. Hassan Whiteside for the Heat at 7,400. What do we see from him? A bad first game, a good second game. Let's sort of wait and see how it all plays out with Whiteside. But he's probably a guy to avoid in cash games because of the fluctuation. But a tournament play, he definitely could have a much bigger ceiling than what we've seen from him so far. So he's someone to have a look at there. Chris Bosh at 8,000, that's probably a little bit overpriced for me, as is Goran Dragic at 6,300, and Ty Lawson at 7,100. I don't want anything to do with him at that price. He's been playing a stack of minutes, but he's only averaging 23 fantasy points so far for the season. At that sort of salary, he needs to do a lot more than that for me to be convinced into taking him or adding him into a lineup. The next game we have a look at is the Milwaukee Bucks and the Toronto Raptors. Got a couple of injuries to have a look at on the Bucks. We don't know if John Henson is going to play. He set out the last game with an Achilles issue. OJ Mayo's missed all of the season so far with a hamstring problem. So there's some guys to have a look at there. If Henson plays, he's priced at only 4,400. I still don't think I want to really get involved with him at that price because in the first game he played just 10 minutes. He's coming off a leg issue. He might be limited again. I think we'll leave him alone there. Jonas Valanciunas at 6,100. I like him there, and it's not like he's going up against any big defensive powerhouses for Milwaukee, so I like him to go there. And I also like Kyle Lowry at 7,700. He started off the season red hot, so I think he's worth a look. DeMar DeRozan has also been fantastic. Now, he's priced at 8,200, but he's pretty much got that value in both of the games so far. He's averaging 41.7 for the season. You'd have to think that comes back a little bit. So I'm a little bit hesitant to spend $8,000 on getting him into a lineup, but he has been really good so far. Same with Greg Monroe, who's at 8,300. He's averaging 43.7 points so far. He had a big game of a 52 game, so we know he can actually go bigger than that, but there is still a little bit of a risk. But in a similar situation for Valanciunas, isn't going up against a good defensive big man, neither is Greg Monroe. So maybe he can have a bit of a feast against the Raptors' big guys in Valanciunas and Patterson and Scholar and Biombo. So he might be worth that investment if you've got a few other cheap options in there. For the Bucks, though, I do like Giannis Antetokounmpo at 6,500. He had a really great start to the season. And Michael Carter-Williams is starting to play really well as well. And he's only at 7,000. So I like both of those guys. Damari Carroll had a really big game in his last game, but it wasn't necessarily a huge performance. He only ended up with 30 fantasy points. And at 6,300, that's sort of right where you need it to be. It's not a great performance. So I would leave him alone in that sort of situation. The next game to have a look at is the Orlando Magic taking on the Chicago Bulls. the surprising Magic, who are 0-2, but have put up some really, really good performances. The Bulls are going to need to be on their guard. And the Bulls are favored by 7.5. So Vegas thinks there's a little bit of blowout potential here. We've got a decent total of 200.5. For the Magic, Evan Fournier is considered probable with an ankle problem. There's almost no doubt that Fournier plays. He played 45 minutes after sustaining the ankle problem the other day, so you'd think that he's going to be right to go, and he'll likely remain in the starting lineup. For the Bulls, Nikola Mirotic is his price has gone up, but he's still at only 6,200. He's someone that you can get involved with and play pretty comfortably. He's been really good so far. He's averaging 30.9 points. And at 6,200, that's some pretty good value. Pau Gasol bounced back the last two games at 7,900. I don't mind that price. And same with Jimmy Butler at 78. I think they're okay plays. They're not brilliant. There's not a huge amount of value there, but they're okay. Magic guys, I don't know how much I want to invest in these guys. Victor Oladipo at 8,100. Is he likely to do what he did against the Thunder with Jimmy Butler guarding him? I'd say probably not. And remember, that was a double overtime game. Same with Toby Harris. Nick Vucevic is probably the guy I look at here and go, yeah, maybe at 7,900 for him, he can have some pretty big games. He's played well against the Bulls in the past. I think that it's not a bad matchup for him against that front court of Mirotic and Gasol. They're not stout defenders. I think Vucevic is in play at less than $8,000 as a center. He makes a little bit of sense for me. Fournier is not a guy I mentioned before. If he plays, that I want really anything to do with. I don't think he's going to be a guy to put into many lineups. The next game is the Denver Nuggets and the Oklahoma City Thunder. There's blowout potential here, huge. The Thunder are favored by 12. We've got a massive total of 211, but do these big names, do they continue to play? For OKC, Russell Westbrook is 11,200. He is averaging over 60 fantasy points per game so far. It's a lot of money. I think I'd probably leave him alone at that price, even though what he's been doing so far has been, you know, putting up that sort of number, but it's obviously inflated by the double overtime game. So at 11,200, I'm leaving him alone. KD at 10,400. I think I'm leaving KD alone at 10th, and it depends. If you've got a lot of other cheap options in there and you want to put someone in there, KD at 10,400 is a pretty decent price point. But it really depends on the way you've constructed your team. Just remember, a lot of these Thunders guys' averages and values, when you look at them, they're inflated by that last game that they played. I think Serge Ibaka, though, at 6,900 is definitely in line for a bit of a bounce back. And Steven Adams is a cheap price guy at 4,400 who had a couple of really decent games so far, and he's not priced at a huge amount. So you can add him in, and then that might allow you to put Russell Westbrook in or to put Kevin Durant in. So that's worth considering. Joffrey Lavernier is still out there at 3,800. He had a real stinker last game, a good first game, but at 3,800, you're not risking a huge amount, and the upside is enticing. And I really like Emmanuel Mudiay at 5,500. I think there is value in him. He's got the point guard job on lockdown. He's going to be handling the ball a lot. He's going to be putting up some pretty decent numbers, so I think that he has some pretty significant value at that sort of price. Danilo Gallinari at 6,600. Nah. Not really if you're going up against Kevin Durant, although the high pace of this game might mean that he's able to put up some more numbers. So he's someone to factor in, but by no means is he someone that I'm looking at and going, he is a must-play sort of guy. The last game on the docket is the Dallas Mavericks and the Los Angeles Lakers. There's a few things we need to keep an eye out for Dallas. Now, Wes Matthews is playing. We don't know what minutes he's playing. I'm going to assume he's playing 25 to 26. We think that Chandler Parsons might play. He won't play his full complement of minutes. And we think that Darren Williams is going to play. He won't play his full complement of minutes. Now, the Mavericks are favored by 2.5. There is a really high total because the Lakers can't defend anyone. But there's so much uncertainty with this Mavericks team that it's hard to really work out what we want to do. Zaza Pachulia at 5,300. He's definitely not a sexy name. But at that sort of price, against the Lakers big men who are not good, he could easily put up value at that sort of price point. So keep in mind him. I'm avoiding those guys like Williams, Wes Matthews, Chandler Parsons, just because I don't know what they're going to do in terms of their minutes at this point. It's too hard to know. They're all coming back from injuries. They're likely not to approach 30 minutes. Let's leave them alone. But the fact that they're playing means that their replacements like Ray Felton, like John Jenkins, like Justin Anderson, like JJ Barea, they're going to be limited as well. So there's going to be no value across that backcourt in Dallas. Where I think there is value is Julius Randle for the Lakers at 4,400. He was abysmal in the last game against the Kings. He had 1.9 FanDuel points. He's priced at 4,400. You'd have to think he gets somewhat of a bounce back from there against Dallas, who doesn't have the most stout defense in the front court. He's someone to pay attention to, as is Roy Hibbert at 5,400. But like the Mavericks, the Lakers' backcourt, it's not something I want to really pay attention to. D'Angelo Russell, Lou Williams, Jordan Clarkson, Nick Young, Kobe Bryant. There's too many guys there. The minutes have been spread out throughout the season so far. I think only one guy's gotten 30 minutes, and that was Clarkson with one game of 30 minutes. So the minutes aren't there for these guys. I don't want to risk that in a DFS sort of situation. All right, that is it for the games for Sunday. It is the last week of head-to-head matchups. Make sure you've got your lineup set. Make sure you've got... This is the time when you've got a streaming spot to add someone in. If you're really looking... Let's start that again. It's week one, right? So yes, you can make streaming options to, I need to get a category here. If I add this guy, I'll get a steal and that'll push me over the edge and I'll get a category. But if it comes down to a decision of you have to drop someone good, or as someone who tweeted me earlier today said, I can go and add Markeith Morris, who's on my waiver wire. No idea why Markeith Morris is on the waiver wire, but I can add Markeith Morris on the waiver wire, but he won't play and therefore I'll lose a category because I won't have those stats. You do it. You sacrifice that one category for this week. You add Markeith Morris because over the course of the season, he's going to give you more than one category back. I'm not looking at going, let's leave Markeith Morris there in case someone else goes and grabs him just so I can give myself one category in week one. You need to sort of be looking towards the future. And that's a dumb move by someone to drop Markeith. You need to pay attention to that and grab that because Markeith could be a top 75 player by the end of the season. And those sort of guys don't routinely appear on the waiver wire. So just pay attention, see who is around there out on the waiver wire and go and make that move without necessarily sacrificing all your long-term value just to get one extra category this week. One thing I didn't do before I started getting into season-long stuff is give you my DFS plays of the day. For Sunday, Jeremy Lin at 4,800. Emmanuel Mudiay at 5,500 and Kyle Lowry at 7,700 are the low, mid, and high price point guards. For the shooting guards, Gerald Green at 3,800 is a tournament-only option, but we know he's got significant ceiling to go really big. I like Giannis Antetokounmpo at 6,500 and James Harden at 10,400. Corey Brewer for the small forwards at 4,100, Nikola Mirotic at 6,200 and Kawhi Leonard at 8,000. Power forwards, Julius Randle, 4,400, Serge Ibaka, 6,900 and Paul Millsap, 7,900. And at the center position, Steven Adams at 4,400, Jonas Valanciunas at 61, and Al Jefferson at 75. And when I say these guys are the best plays, it doesn't mean that they're going to score the most points. It means that they're going to give you the most bang for your buck. So in the high-priced point guards, I could say, I could put Russell Westbrook there and say, Russell Westbrook is going to be the highest-scoring point guard, because that's pretty much straightforward. But I think at a price of almost $4,000 less, what Kyle Lowry does is probably a little bit more valuable. And it's the ratio of salary to points returned is probably a little bit more in Lowry's favor at this point. Okay. That's it for today's podcast. Make sure you are checking out Basketball Monster. Make sure you're checking out All-Star 5, RedRockBasketball.com, and Hardwood Paroxysm. And see me over on Moneyball to take me on in some contests, some head-to-head, some leagues, some tournaments, some double-ups, all that sort of stuff. Good luck with your weekly matchup for this week. Good luck in daily fantasy. Good luck for the season ahead. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.